Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Okay, welcome back to Brad Golf. It's the 2nd of September 2020. This is episode 15 of the Brad Golf Podcast series. This week, we will recap on the BMW Championship as we welcome back Nigel. Nigel's picks, we'll examine those for the Tour Championship. We'll discuss current events on the PGA Tour and back at home. As usual, please do subscribe to the podcast. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Anchor, Google, Apple, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Republic. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and you'll find bradgolf.ie on Facebook. You can also contact us today at bradgolftv@gmail.com with any of your questions, queries, or feedback. So first off, welcome back, Nigel. A well-earned week off. But even on your week off, you get a win. So what are you like?
Dermot, how are you? Oh, I'm on fire. I'm just, you know, even when I'm not trying, I'm winning. I have to say, I had a strong feeling about John Rahm before last week. I'd actually, once I heard that it was at Olympia Fields, he was always in my thoughts. And I have to say apologies to people who search or look at Tricky Dogleg. I wasn't able to update the website before I was away. And I didn't get a chance to update it. So it was only sent on my own personal email to as many addresses as I could find.
So good man. So I got it out to people of the pod pretty quickly. I think it was within the hour. It was up there. So yes, thanks for sharing that. And we did have plenty of happy pod listeners this week. Yeah. So to recap then on the BMW Championship, let's get straight in. Rahm, Victor, another Tricky Dogleg success, as I said, from Nigel's picks. 9-1 win is what you said, put the money on the win there, which we did. So that felt very good, getting a 9-1 win. Great putt from DJ to take it to a playoff, and then Rahm holding up from 66 feet to win on the first playoff hole. What did you think, Nigel, of the finish?
It was an incredible finish. Possibly the finish of the year. It eclipsed both of Morikawa's wins at the Workday and the PGA. I woke up the wife shouting and cheering when Rahm got the putt. So yeah, it was awesome.
I may have done something similar here, if I'm honest with you. So Rahm said, I knew how good DJ has been playing. I was expecting nothing else. I was fully confident it was going to come into a playoff and hoping to win it. Never did I think I would make another 50, 60 footer, a couple of breaks in there to end up winning it. So very, very happy, obviously, with his putt and the victory. Something bizarre happened on the day. So we have to focus in on that. He incurred a penalty after forgetting to mark his ball and picking it up. He said, I really can't give you an explanation. It's one of those things that happen in golf, but I never thought it would happen in my professional career. I was holding my marker in my pocket, and for some reason, I just picked up the ball thinking I marked it already. What did you think of that? Have you ever done anything like that or even close?
Not a marking the ball, but I did. My regular playing partners in Donabate will tell you that I almost held a putt in the Winter League a couple of years ago, and I thought it was definitely in, and I did the whole kind of raising the putt to kind of in celebration, and it stopped on the lip, and I went to raise the putt, and I let go of the putter, and the putter headed towards the hole, knocked the ball away from the hole. And it was just an absolute disaster. So yeah, I know how he feels.
And apparently, just for the listeners, that mistake was the difference in winning the Winter League. Is that correct? Were you one shot?
If we'd have got that, we probably would have just edged the Winter League. Yeah.
So a whole season there on one.
Well, it wasn't a season. It was a few weeks.
It was a full season. That's what the lad said to me. It was a lot of hard graft to get there.
Oh, I still get reminded.
Well, I must admit, there's been a few times, not that many, but a few times where I bent down to pick up a ball and I got a whole second here. Where's my marker? So it's got that far. But to pick it up without marking it, yeah, it doesn't happen too often, obviously. You wouldn't expect it of professionals. But then again, just shows you how, you know, even a professional in that moment could lose their train of thought or just be thinking of other things.
Hopefully it's not, you know, it's not something that's going to be regular. He did something weird at when he won the Irish Open. He kind of marked the ball oddly without thinking and had to explain it to the officials. And then obviously had the incident at Muirfield. I think he's an honest player. I hope he's an honest player. Yeah. But I hope it wasn't just a brain fart.
Yeah, big time. Just one observation. So week one of the FedEx series, we had, you know, amazing scores. DJ running away 11 shots ahead of the field at 30 under. But this week was a much different story scoring-wise. So which made for better viewing? Because there's obviously differing views. Some people like to see birdies and birdie fests.
Well, Olympia Fields had a major feel to it. It's a major championship venue, or maybe ex-major championship venue. I'm not sure if it's going to host the PGA maybe in the next few years. I think it was definitely a superior watch to what happened at TPC Boston, where DJ ran away with it. Also, by the way, he was on my short list. I crossed them off at the very late stage the previous week, so I was a bit annoyed when I saw him absolutely romp in just amazing fashion.
Yeah.
I think, yes, I think TPC Boston might have been a better watch if DJ hadn't been so dominant. It's generally a good tournament to watch. So I think comparing it to what happened at Olympia Fields is probably unfair.
So we move on then to the Tour Championship. And just a quick explanation as to how it works, because it's not a standard event. Top 30 in the FedEx are advancing from Olympia Fields to Atlanta for the Tour Championship. You've got, and that obviously is the end of the season. After the BMW, now at this stage, DJ leads the way with 3,471 points. Second place is Ram with 3,080. And JT is in third, 2,570. Rory is still back in 12th. He remains in 12th with 1,516 points. But at this stage now, the points are all just scrapped. And what happens is the FedEx leader, which is DJ, he begins the Tour Championship this weekend at 10 under par. Number two, which is John Rahm, he starts at 8 under. Number three, JT, starts at 7 under. And as we go down, Rory's in, 12th position. He starts at 3 under. So he's 7 back. The defending champion, last standing Irishman, he's 7 back from DJ before he hits a ball. And obviously the lowest aggregate score then over the 72 holes, which is played this year, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because it's
Labor Day.
Labor Day, thank you. So this year, the Tour Championship win will be considered an official victory, and the FedEx champion will also earn a bonus of a mere $15 million and a five-year PGA Tour exemption. So what's your view on this aggregate score system?
My own view is that it simplifies the overall FedEx Cup standings. It's a little unfair on DJ, for instance, or whoever is the leader of the FedEx, in that they only get a two-shot lead no matter how well they've performed. And DJ has performed really well recently. Obviously, he went close to the PGA, won in amazing fashion at TPC Boston, and missed out in the playoff last week. You know, he's deservedly the number one player in the world and number one FedEx player. To only have a two-shot lead isn't great.
Yeah.
But the previous system was very complicated, and they were on points, and it was never really clear to the audience or to even the players in the course what was going on at times. And this definitely crystallizes and just clarifies everything. There's a handicap system. I think possibly the likes of DJ should possibly have an extra shot, or maybe some other sort of advantage, maybe keep it at two shots but have some other advantage. I don't know, get to choose who he wants to play with or something like that. I'm not really sure how it could work. But yeah, I mean, it's it's going to make for good TV. That's the main thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they've got overall, well, what they're trying to achieve, they probably got most of the balance right.
It's one thing saying if you're leading the FedEx points, then you start at minus 10. I think it should be, there should be some weighting mechanism applied as well to say, look, if you're 400 points ahead or you're 800 points ahead, you start at minus 11 or minus 12 or whatever it might be. I think it does need to be staggered a little bit there, because a player could go the whole season winning every event and just get a two-shot lead going into this. So I'm not sure that's fair or just, but it does make for exciting viewing. Rory, defending champion, 7 back. That's a lot of ground to make up, but not impossible by any stretch. Moving on then from PGA Tour, coming back home local, a few things to wrap up. Last week, I asked a question on the pod, what was the dog license? It was in relation to Bryson DeChambeau's victory at US Amateur. And I mentioned that he won the final by a dog license. I didn't give the score, but I mentioned that he won by a dog license. And who else would answer first but Donal O'Hagan? He's always first in. So he said a dog license is... Go on, I'll let you answer, Nigel. What's a dog license?
7-6.
7-6, which used to be the old money, the cost of a dog.
Old money. That's right, yeah.
So yeah, he won 7-6. Donal was telling us all about his fab week. He went up to Port Stewart and he played Lockarn on Friday. So great week last week on the golf course. And he also got the dog license in early as well. So well done to Donal.
Also going back to Olympia Fields and Bryson DeChambeau's 2015 US Amateur win there. He was on fire that week. I remember seeing some of the coverage because Sky actually covered that because they were getting a feed from Fox at the time. He beat Paul Dunn, I think, in the third round. And I think that was one of the closest games he had. And he still beat him 3-2 or 4-3. But on the other side of the draw, in the semi-final, John Rahm was in the other semi-final. And he got beaten. I don't know, he had an off day or whatever. He lost to some guy called Bard. I can't even remember his name. And that's the guy that Bryson hammered in the final. But it would have been some final to have John Rahm. Because Rahm was, I think, was the number one amateur in the world at the time.
The other big news, so obviously it's big Irish news, but big golf news as well. Rory is expecting, well, he isn't directly expecting, but it was first reported by Golf Channel's Steve Sands that Rory's wife, Erica, is pregnant with the couple's first child. So Rory said, we're about to be parents very soon, so we're obviously super excited. We've been sharing the news with friends and family, obviously, but I don't think was something that I particularly needed to share out here. It's a private matter, but we're really excited and can't wait for her to get here. So big news from Rory, purely from a golf perspective. How do you think that's going to affect him going forward now, Nigel? Do you think is that an explanation for the last 6 months? And what does it mean for 2021 and beyond for Rory, in your view?
It definitely is an explanation, and it probably puts a lot of my criticism of him from previous pods in quite a harsh light. I think if now knowing this now, I think I should have given him the benefit of the doubt. I imagine he hasn't been able to concentrate on golf properly. He's blamed the lack of crowds, but that's only probably a factor in it. If him and his wife were expecting their first child, then it was going to be a big distraction. So, yeah, that's all understandable that would take an effect on his game. To me, you can write him off for this week.
Yeah.
You know, he may get a call on the course that she's gone to labor. So you just...
And he said, he openly said, if he gets that call, he's out of here. So,
yeah.
But into, say, from majors... 2021, 2022.
Well, I think if she has it before the US Open, and this is something that what us golf tipsters call the nappy factor, where when a player suddenly has a big event or like becomes a father for the first time, it tends to have a positive effect on their play.
Yeah.
I don't know if it settles their mind or makes them more happy or give them perspective on the course, but it's happened with players in the past. Danny Willett, I think, became a father close to when he won the Masters. That's the one that pops into my head at the moment. I think there are other ones. So if
he
becomes a father before the US Open, I expect to see a bounce.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't know yet, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's watch this space. Then the 42.ie, they talked about Brendan Lawler. So he made history. The Irish golfer made history at the Belfry last week. He was the first professional disability golfer to compete on the European Tour. Brendan's from Louth. He was one under par after three holes in his debut, but unfortunately signed off for an 84. Still an incredible achievement for him. He's currently fourth in the world rankings for golfers with disability. Rare condition, which I cannot pronounce, but it's a disability characterized by shorter stature and shorter limbs. An incredible achievement from the young lad, particularly, you know, shorter stature and shorter limbs. We're looking at the likes of Bryson and DJ and these big monsters. You know, what a disadvantage that would be as a golfer.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, and it also shows that the European Tour are definitely at the forefront of, you know, being progressive about including all sorts of people, all walks of life in their events.
Yeah. Okay. Golf Digest announced this week that the USGA announced two withdrawals from the 2020 US Open field. So Francesco Molinari has pulled out. He obviously won the Open Championship back in 2018, but he withdrew from the PGA Championship as well. He hasn't played since February at Mexico, the WGC. What did you think of this withdrawal? And obviously, having not played since February, is this a COVID decision to stay home, or what's your view?
It could be that there are stories circulating that he's a bit burnt out. And maybe, I don't know, he wants to spend more time with his family and, you know, he's fallen out of love with the game. I think for Francesco, you know, he was so impressive when he won the Open at Carnoustie, and his game really peaked in 2018. And he put so much work into getting to that level. He surrounded himself by various different coaches, had really put the time in to get to become a major champion. And then he lost the Masters really in kind of spectacular fashion by going in the water twice in the back nine at Augusta, and hasn't looked the same player since. I think there's a lot of truth to the rumors that he's burnt out and isn't really the same, doesn't have the same appetite for the game. So it's a shame that he is doing that. But I guess, you know, golf's an addictive game. We'll see him back.
Yeah, no doubt. Big news today. So this is coming from the Irish Golf Desk. The 110th Irish PGA Championship, well, they had heavy and persistent rain this morning, which forced round two to be abandoned without a ball being struck today. So that was at in Swords here at the Rogenstown Hotel and Country Club, where a recent winner of the Junior Scratch Cup is on this pod. Just saying.
I was waiting for you to put that in.
Had to throw it in there. I'm surprised they didn't invite me down to play, obviously being an ex-Junior Scratch Cup champion down there. But nonetheless, they had to obviously call play today, abandon play today. So the second and final round is therefore scheduled to get underway on Thursday morning. So tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with competitors playing in three balls. So we've got Colin Moriarty from Glasson, and we've got Shane Jenkinson from St. Margaret's. So they're getting underway around 20 past one on Thursday. They're the leaders. They shot a 68 at the beginning. Two shots clear of Simon Thornton of Tulfaris and Sean Cannon from Athenry.
It's great that it's on, but it's a tournament that's kind of, you know, it's done well to survive, really. It's a shame, really, because it should be you know, a fixture of every season in Irish golf.
Yeah.
And I think there should be, you know, at least one place in the Irish Open on offer to the winner. I don't think that's the case. I think they'd rely on sponsors' invitation to get into the Irish Open. I think it should be automatically given.
Fair point, yeah. Well, we'll have to watch and see who wins tomorrow. Keep an eye on the Irish Golf Desk. They've been reporting daily on this event, so they're likely to update you with anything you need to know from tomorrow. Okay, last week I mentioned there's big news coming for the pod. I really can't say any more. I can't, there's nothing I can really leak about this other than to say it's going to be significant. What do you think, Nigel? You know obviously what the big news is. How significant is it?
It's big, yeah.
Big news.
I'd like to give a clue. I'm trying to think of a clue we could give.
Well, I suppose we could say it's a special guest, right? I can go that far. Very special guest. I'm expecting that news to be released. Let's be honest. I think in the next couple of weeks, I was hoping I'd have more concrete this week. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to close this one out. So keep an eye.
Can I say who it's not?
You can, yeah.
It's not going to be Rory McIlroy.
Or Erica. So I'm just going to throw that in as well. It's not going to be Erica. It's not going to be Rory. Moving on from the news, moving on from last week and so on, let's move on to the Tour Championship. So it's the end of the season, and this year it's hosted, well, as it has been since 2004, Eastlake Golf Course, the permanent home now of the Tour Championship. Famously, we had Bobby Jones. This is his home course back in the day. And much of the clubhouse there is a tribute to Bobby and his fantastic achievements in the game. Designed by Donald Ross and Rhys Jones, par 70, 7,346 yards. Previous winners of the Tour Championship, well, from an Irish perspective, Rory has won this 2019, last year, and back in 2016. We had Tiger at his famous return win in 2018. And that leads me into Tour Championship. Nigel, tell us, how's it going to play out? Who's going to win the Tour Championship?
Well, this is a very difficult tournament to predict and to tip on, because effectively it's like the tournament's already started.
Yeah.
Some people have likened it to, so we're kind of almost betting in running or betting with a handicap. There are various different markets available. The two main ones would obviously be the market with the handicap, which would have DJ as the obvious, since he's starting on 10 under. And then you can also have the market for just the 72 holes, as if they're starting from all at the same score. I'm only going to offer the outright overall with a handicap market picks, just to keep it nice and simple for everyone. I may include more on Tricky Dogleg. We'll see about that. We'll just keep it for the pod. Just keep it as these picks.
Yeah, I agree. And just to put that in context then for people who are looking at this, like Dustin Johnston is 15-8. So very short odds, whereas Rory's 20-1 this week. So that's kind of the gap there in the market. And the fact that, as you say, they're starting, they're already running, as you said. So the odds are going to be different. But yeah, I think you're going about it the right way. Let's go for it.
I was very tempted to focus on the top of the mark, because obviously the top five are all within five shots of each other. DJ's obviously starting at 10 under, but the leader of the FedEx Cup has a terrible record in actually going on to win at Eastlake in the Tour Championship. The second place person going into the Tour Championship has an excellent record, unbelievable record. So John Rahm, to me, is the big favourite. However, I don't think his record is strong enough here, and I think there's going to be a little dip after the amazing performance last week. I may be wrong, but that's just my feeling. So I looked then at Webb Simpson as my next possible pick, and I also turned him down as well, because I just think he may have too much golf under his belt over the summer. He took off last week, which probably was a good idea because he didn't really lose. He only lost a shot by taking the week off. And he has a pretty good record around this. As he's a great record on Donald Ross courses. But 10-1 just seemed a little short, given that he's three shots back already. And I'm going to ignore the top five. I think JT is a bit out of form. I think Colin Morikawa is having a bit of a post-major lull. So we're going to look at the 4-under people. There's five people on 4-under, and I'm going to pick two of them. And I'm going to put, as my headline selection this week, last week's pick from Dermot. We're going to go with Bryson DeChambeau as the headline pick. Ooh. At 22-1, 2.5 points each way. Bryson has played here twice and has gone pretty well. I think he's got at least two or three rounds of 66. He's going to have less pressure on him this week. He isn't in as good form as he was possibly in the summer. But this is another Donald Ross course, and he won the Rocket Mortgage Classic on a Donald Ross course. I think that because of this less pressure on him, I think he's going to perform a lot better. I think his price is fantastic, given what he's achieved this summer. And that's the reason why I've gone as a headline selection. Now, the second selection was close to being the headline as well. It's Daniel Berger at 25-1, 2 points each way. This guy's gone well at this course before. He plays great on Donald Ross courses. He's great on Bermuda greens. His stats are just unbelievable at the moment. He's risen to 13th in the world. He's already won this summer. He should have possibly won again. Really, he's a man on fire. And he's at that 4-under level, where I think he can run in and close the gap on DJ quite quickly, maybe over two rounds. The third selection is Brendan Todd, 80-1, 1 point each way. Brendan actually lives in Atlanta, so he'll be able to sleep in his own bed. He's, you know, what can we say? He's been in contention all through the summer. He's possibly thrown away two tournaments already. But he's kept on going. It hasn't diminished his play. The rough is going to be very penal this week, and he's a very straight hitter and a great putter and a good scrambler. So I think 8-1 is possibly overvalued for him. Now we're going down into the possible also-rans next for a selection, but like, there is a big gap between DJ and the rest of the field, but I think that could, all it takes is DJ to have one bad round and everything will equalize. So I'm going to go with Tyrrell Hatton as my fourth selection, 90-1, 1 point each way. Tyrrell will be starting at 2-under, but he's already shown at the Arnold Palmer this year that he loves Bermuda greens, can play well in a tight, tough course, and 90-1 is a pretty tasty place, even if he is starting 8 shots back. And it's a similar idea for Kevin Kisner, who'll be 9 shots back, but Kevin Kisner has gone very well at this course before, specifically 2017. I think he was third here. He's been playing well all summer. He's from up the road in South Carolina. I think this is going to feel like a home game for him. He went to Georgia in college. He knows this course inside out. So we're going to go 101.75 points each way for Kevin Kisner. And our last two selections are going to be big outsiders coming from level par, 10 shots behind DJ. These are going to be fun bets. We're going to go with Billy Horschel, 200-1, 0.5 point each way. Billy is lucky to be here this week. Only made the Tour Championship with Corey Connors three putting from 6 feet. To slip in 30th place. He'll be starting a level par, 10 shots behind DJ, and that looks like a mountain to climb, but he can at least run to a place this week because Obviously, he's won the FedEx Cup before. He's won the Tour Championship back in 2014. But he also came second when Tiger won in 2018 and has another top 10 from the previous year as well. He loves this course. He plays very well in this course. He plays well in Donald Rock's courses altogether. Clearly, he should have won at Sedgefield at the Wyndham, but it was only inspired Jim Herman that stopped him winning. And I think he's going to go very well this week at 200-1. It's worth a small each way, and hopefully Billy will pay us back in some way for missing out at the Wyndham. And the very last selection is a big outsider, Mackenzie Hughes, who also just about got in on the last green last week. He held a very slippery five-footer to make sure he got in the top 30. He's 400-1. Let's put a quarter of a point each way on him. He's played very well this summer. I'm thinking back to even pre-COVID at the Honda Classic, where he went 66-66 on the weekend on Bermuda greens, and I think this course is going to suit him. So there are my seven selections in a 30-man field. I think I've pretty much covered the field apart from the top guys. But I think the top guys are going to wobble a bit.
There's definitely value in your picks this week. Strong each ways. There's a lot of strong each ways there.
Yeah. In previous years, especially last year, guys like Jason Kokrak, Ches Reavie ran into places from well back. Yeah. They were starting a one under or level par, and they ended up running into the top 10. So it can happen. And I think the sweet spot is around 4 under, 5 under. There's no doubt that DJ and John Rahm and JT have a big advantage, and that they're excellent top class golfers who have no problem front running. But it's just, this is a weird format that has produced weird winners in the past. Jim Furyk has won the FedEx Cup, short hitter. Bill Haas won it. He started the week in 30th and ended up winning the FedEx Cup. Anything can happen to this. So I think we've got a good range of contenders.
Great. Well, I hope we have an exciting finish, which is quite likely to happen, let's be honest, because even with a, you know, when you look at it, even a 6-shot lead over 4 rounds, that's a lot of rounds to make it up.
Yeah.
So it's a shot and a half a day. Okay. Thanks a million, Nigel.
No worries. And
look forward to the Tour Championship. Look forward to seeing your picks in action. Any plans yourself for this weekend, golf-wise? Big one.
President's Prize on Saturday.
Yeah, the President's Prize. So how's the game?
It's all right. Played 9 holes last night, 17 points.
Oh, steady.
Played to the handicap, so we'll see. I'm not expecting much, and it was my first game in 2 weeks, so I'm hopeful. I'm also going to play in Headford on Sunday, the standards at the Junior Scratch there.
Oh, fabulous. Very good.
Are you playing on Sunday?
Well, I'm playing in Donabate. There's an open singles, so I'm going to play on that on Sunday. Tell me, is Headford 36 holes? Because it used to be the old course and the new course.
No, it's not this year because probably of COVID. Okay. I played before on the new and the old, and it was a great competition. Yeah. They're only playing on the old this week. Would you be interested?
Yeah, I could switch. We'll take it offline. We'll have a look. I've never played Headford.
Okay.
It's on my list. So, we might need to have a chat before the end of the week, see what's going on.
I would have preferred if they were on the new course, but the old course is still a good one as well.
Yeah. No, I definitely wouldn't do it if it was 36. I'm just too old. I'm just too old, man, for these 36 holders. But yeah, we might have a look at that one. So that's on Sunday. Very good. President's on Saturday. It's strokes. So good old Paul, our president, he being a low handicapper himself, has a preference for strokes competitions. So that'll be fun this weekend. Who would you pick to win it? So if you had to pick a name out of a hat. Obviously, that's a difficult one because there's 150 players. But who's Nigel's pick for the Presidents?
I think there's more than that.
Probably.
I think they'll be heading toward. Because he's opened up the timesheet for Friday as well.
He has indeed, yeah. It's bursting at the seams.
that they'll be, it'll be heading towards nearly 200 people.
May well do.
Entering.
So who's your money on? Who?
I think because of strokes, it might favour us lower handicappers.
It should, but that doesn't prevent a chap from going out and shooting the lights out as well. So, but it should.
Yeah.
Favour the lower men.
Yeah, it's going to feel more like a medal than a presence prize, really. It wins the presence prize, Stableford, but
yeah, particularly as there's no medal this month. So yeah, it'll feel very much like a medal. And so yeah, so looking forward to that. Hopefully the weather will be half decent. It's a shame we won't have a social event afterwards. What can you do? What can you do?
We'll go out and play. This is it.
Right. Well, best of luck over the weekend in the Presidents, and thanks for joining me again, Nigel. You're a star.
No problem. Enjoyed it.
So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.